Hey folks, if you've been tuning in over the last couple months, you've heard all about the GameTime app and how it can save you some serious cash on last-minute tickets to sports, concerts, and all types of shows. The Niners are in the playoffs. They have home field advantage. So make sure you get your tickets to Levi Stadium. It's going to be a great playoff run. They're a complete team, and this could be the year where they make the Super Bowl. Well, now GameTime is hooking you up for the holidays with $10 credit. Here's what to do. Download the GameTime app in the Google Play or App Store. Click on the My Ticket section of the app. Create an account. Then under the billing section, redeem code THEATHLETIC. Once again, that's THEATHLETIC, all one word, for $10 off your first purchase. That's free money, people. Credit is only available to the first 1,000 people who redeem the code, and it expires at the end of the year. That's December 31st, 2019. That's today. So make moves quick and score last-minute tickets.
Man, you gotta get a cheat sheet or something. That's terrible. That'll kill us.
You like that? You like that?
I'm just about that action, boss.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
You are listening to Run the Film with Kirk Morrison and Ted Nguyen, only on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome back, man. So excited. This is the Athletic Podcast Network. This is Run the Film, our podcast that we do every single week. I'm Kirk Morrison alongside Ted Nguyen, man. And Ted, let's just jump right into it, man, because I'm so excited because this is the time of year that I get really pumped up about, because now it's sudden death football, meaning that you win, you continue. You lose, you go home. This is what the NFL season is all about. Like, what do you think about, Ted, when you think about just the postseason now that it's finally here?
Man, I'm excited. It's been a great season, a lot of exciting matchups, and the playoff picture really didn't get put together until that very last week. We had some great games like Seattle and the Niners. And, you know, this year, I don't think there's a real clear-cut favorite. I think there's a lot of good competition this year. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, do you see a clear-cut favorite out of all these teams, or do you think that it's pretty evenly matched up this year?
No, I think since, you know, we've been doing this podcast all year, I think for us, me and you, the consensus in the AFC is we really feel like it's a three-horse race between Baltimore, Kansas City, and New England, right? The defending champions. I think that's the AFC for me, is the way I see it right now currently. In terms of the NFC, when I look at the six teams in there, I think we can make a case for, honestly, all six teams. And it sounds crazy, I know, but I really can't make a case for all six teams in the NFC to make it to the Super Bowl. There's something that each team has, an identity that if they play well, whether it's even in the wild card round, having to play in a wild card round, meaning they would have to win three games to get to the Super Bowl, whether it's those types of teams or even teams that have the bye, I feel like I can make a case why each team is going to make it to the Super Bowl, Ted. It's different, I think, this year than in past years.
Yeah, no, I agree. So just before, we're going to talk about our rankings of these teams. So you want to go first with your top 12?
Yeah, I'll go first. I thought about it because, right, the season's over with, regular season's over with, and then we're down with 12 teams. So I'll rank my 12 teams, not in any particular order or AFC or NFC. It's just the 12 teams as I see them. Starting at number 12, Ted, I got Buffalo at 12, Philadelphia at 11, Tennessee at 10, Houston at 9, Minnesota at 8, Seattle's at 7, now New England at 6, Green Bay ahead of them at 5. Then here's my top 4: New Orleans 4, Kansas City 3, San Francisco 2, and number 1 is the Baltimore Ravens. That's just kind of how I saw it. I look at, and I'll just quickly on 30 seconds on each, well, not even 30 seconds, like 10 seconds. I feel like Buffalo, first time seeing Josh Allen in the playoffs. It was Tyrod Taylor that started for Buffalo. So I'm not really sure what I'm going to get from a guy like Josh Allen, especially on the road against Deshaun Watson, which it just seems like the Houston Texans always play on that Saturday wild card game. Philadelphia, I felt that their Super Bowl or their season was made by beating the Dallas Cowboys. They put all their effort into beating the Cowboys in that Week 16 matchup that ultimately got them to the playoffs. So I don't know if they still have that magic. Tennessee, I know they've got a great identity now with running the football with Derrick Henry. I just don't know what Brian Tannehill, his first career start in the playoffs. Last time he was supposed to start in the playoffs, remember he was injured. Matt Moore started that game for the Dolphins, and they lost to the Steelers. Houston, kind of an enigma, right? Good Houston, bad Houston. We saw that all season long with Deshaun Watson. And I need to see Deshaun, you know, perform in the playoffs, and I can have more of a confidence in him. Minnesota is one of those teams I can argue in the NFC that I think if they catch fire, if they can catch a run, Dalvin Cook rested the last couple of weeks. If they catch fire with that running game, that defense, I can see them making it to a Super Bowl. Seattle, we saw it. They actually need something from the run game, right? Russell Wilson was magnificent. He got the ball. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, I'm not worried about that offense in terms of the passing game, but they need the running game, whether it's Marshawn Lynch. They're working out guys this week, so we'll see how that goes. New England, it's just New England. They're defending champions, enough said. Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, his first time head coaching a team in general, but we'll see that relationship between him and Aaron Rodgers. And now, like I said, my top four, I really believe it's going to come down to these four. New Orleans, Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore. Baltimore just the best team. San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs, and Kyle Shanahan. That's why I got Shanahan at number two, because I'm going to keep repeating this. 28-3, that's in the back of his mind. 28-3, when he was a coordinator in Atlanta, up on the New England Patriots, did not run the football. Trying to throw down a stretch, you know, keeping his foot on the gas pedal. Ultimately, we know Atlanta lost that Super Bowl. And in Kansas City, it's just, I think they learned from last year, right? Andy Reid, they learned from last year being at home in an AFC Championship game, did not finish the deal. And then New Orleans, I mean, they're tired of it, right? They're tired of the Minnesota miracle. They're tired of the blown pass interference call against the Rams. They feel like, look, man, we've had the worst over the last couple of years. It's finally our year to get over the hump.
Yeah, so my top 12 is almost exactly the same as yours. I have number 12. The bottom's a little different. Number 12, I have Philadelphia as my lowest team. They're just so beat up, and they snuck in the playoffs in the NFC East. I believe in their coaching. I believe in Carson Wentz. There's a possible, you know, they possibly could pull out a win against a pretty beat up Seattle team. We'll see. Houston, my 11th team, they're just not a very complete team, and they're going to depend on Deshaun Watson making some miracle plays. 10, Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill's been playing amazing, but we'll see how he does in the playoffs. Number 9, Buffalo. Great defense. Really good pass defense. It's going to be Josh Allen's first time in the playoffs. Was he in the playoffs last year?
No, man, that was two seasons ago. Tyrod Taylor.
So it'll be Josh Allen's first time in the playoffs. I think he got some weaknesses exposed against the Jets. So I just don't know if this is going to be his year quite yet. I think they have a bright future, but I don't know if this is Buffalo's year. Number 8, I have Minnesota. I think they're going to be a lot different with Dalvin Cook back in the lineup. And as we know, they have a pretty good defense and some playmakers outside. But we'll see if Cousins could step up in those big games. 7, Seattle. They're beat up, but they have Russell Wilson. He's playing at an MVP level. Number 6, New England, which is going to be by far their toughest playoff run that they've made during their dominant stretch throughout the years. Offensively, they could be exposed or pretty bad. Defensively, they are still an elite team, but they only do so much when that offense really isn't moving the ball. Number 5, I have Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers just hasn't played like himself in recent weeks, but he still could turn it on. You never know when he's going to have one of those big Aaron Rodgers games, and that defense is playing well. So the difference between your ranking and my ranking is I have New Orleans ranked 3 and KC ranked 4. KC defense has improved. I think the injury to Thornhill is going to hurt. But obviously you have Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to make plays. But I feel like New Orleans is just a little bit more of a complete team defensively, and they could run the ball well. Two, obviously, Drew Brees isn't Patrick Mahomes, but he is playing at a very high level right now. So I just like New Orleans a little bit better than KC. Number two, I have the Niners. Niners are just playing at a very, very high level. Their stars are coming out in those clutch moments and making plays whenever they need them. And Garoppolo's just putting it together. So I'm very high on the Niners. And obviously, number one, the Ravens. They're just tearing people apart on offense. Nobody knows how to stop them. And defensively, they are by far the highest blitz team in the NFL. And they are they're pressuring offenses into making mistakes. So they're just a very complete team right now.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's kind of funny that we're almost like spot on, right? I think we kind of feel like from what we've seen throughout the 16 weeks of the season, you know, this is what we feel is the best rankings of how we feel about these teams. So it's going to be interesting as we watch this playoff run and see if some of these guys can step up, because I think a lot of our thoughts are more so because we have not seen some of these players in these pressure type situations. So it's interesting to see. Just shifting to some news and notes that we have since the season has ended, Ted. And as we speak right now, after the season had ended, there were four jobs available in the National Football League: Cleveland, Carolina, New York, and Washington, because we know Freddie Kitchens was fired. Ron Rivera was already fired earlier in the season with Carolina. Pat Shurmur was fired from the New York Giants. And we knew that Washington had already let their coach go, Jay Gruden, earlier in the season. We still have not heard from Dallas yet, and that's the one that everybody's waiting to see when or if Jason Garrett returns. And then Washington did decide to select Ron Rivera as their next coach and next head coach. So there's three still openings, and then one more possible opening with Dallas, depending on what they do. But the three available right now, coaching availabilities, Ted: Cleveland, Carolina, and New York. If you had to choose just one of those jobs, which one do you think right now that you would take? Cleveland, Carolina, or the New York Football Giants?
That's tough. I like Cleveland because there's still a lot of talent there, and I just felt like they were just off, you know, with their discipline. And if they had somebody that could go in there and fix those problems, then they, you know, those, that talent could shine through. But at the same time, that's not an easy problem to fix, you know, with all the disciplinary issues that they have. I think with Cleveland, it's a tempting job to take, but those disciplinary issues is going to be a hard issue for whoever takes over. But if they can fix it, they could be a real good team. Carolina has some talent, and they have some established veterans like Luke Kuechly, and obviously, you know, Cam Newton's future is a little bit in disarray there. But if you could figure out that situation with Cam Newton, and if he's healthy, that's a team that's ready to go. New York is a team where I'm not really sold on taking that job, because it just seems like Dave Gettleman is so old-fashioned in his thinking and his way of putting a team together. If I was a coach, I don't know if I want to be tethered to that. And I'm not totally sold on Daniel Jones just yet. That would be a questionable job for me if I was a coach looking at these three teams.
Yeah. No, I got you. I think for me, of those three jobs, the one I would take, and Ted, this has always been my theory on this, and, you know, people have their own theories about, you know, how to select a coaching job. But for me, I select on division. As crazy as it seems, I select on division. If I'm Cleveland, do I want to head coach that team? No, because I still got to deal with Ben Roethlisberger when he comes back from injury. We see what Lamar Jackson is doing, and Lamar Jackson. And in Cincinnati, still a toss-up, but hey, they can go out and get Joe Burrow. They can change some things around pretty quickly. I look at the NFC South. I want no part of the NFC South. Like, literally, I don't want Drew Brees. I don't know how many years Drew has, but I still, the stability, and Sean Payton is a play caller. They may keep Teddy Bridgewater. I don't want that. I don't want to have to go up against Matt Ryan still, right? I don't want those problems at the current moment. Even Jameis Winston, right? He can still win you games. I just look at the New York job, and I'm saying, you know, I've got a quarterback that I can still, you know, mature. I got a back in Saquon. I got a pretty good defense that we've been kind of investing some picks in, right? I can help out the offensive line. I got Evan Ingram at wide receiver as well. I feel like I got a good, you know, a good nucleus of players, but then also the Cowboys, Dak Prescott, kind of up and down. Carson Wentz and the Eagles, yes, they had a ton of injuries, but are they still the Eagles that we saw 2 years ago? Nah, not quite. And in Washington, they still got a lot of work to do, and they don't even have a quarterback. So I've always been a theory of tell me the division, and I'll tell you if I'm interested. So that's always been my thinking. But, man, what are you thinking now as we shift to our wild card weekend games, Ted? This is the fun part, right? The wild card round. I've always said I love this round more than I do the divisional, right? Because the divisional is already kind of set. We know who's in there. But it's like the right to get to the divisionals. And this one, this weekend's games are going to be fun. Starting off with the Buffalo Bills traveling to Houston to take on the Texans.
Just knowing the names that are on their team, obviously they're going to have J.J. Watt back, merciless. And, you know, he just signed a new deal. Those are guys that kind of got after us last year. I remember playing in that stadium. It's going to be loud. We got to go in there and going to have to utilize some silent count, no doubt. But at the end of the day, it's playoff football. It's win or go home. So got to have a really good week this week, prepare a game plan, and be ready for whatever they throw at us. It's just one of those games. It's anything can happen. We're in the dance. We know that. We understand that. And we got to go out there and try to execute.
You know, we'll get going this week and have a good week of preparation. And we know Buffalo's a really good football team. We've got a very, you know, disciplined team. Got a really good young quarterback that's playing really well. They do a lot of things well. They're very well coached. Sean McDermott does a great job. So we know it's a big challenge, and we've got to have a good week of preparation.
Just Josh Allen's first playoff game, right? And then Deshaun Watson, he's been here before. He's played in this big moment, this big stage. But if there's something that you're looking for, Ted, what are you going to be looking for within this matchup?
I really am curious to see how Tre'Davious White, who is, you know, one of the best corners in the NFL and hasn't really gotten a lot of accolades or people talking about him, but he is one of the NFL shutdown corners this year. And it'll be really interesting watching him go against DeAndre Hopkins, who, as we know, is one of the best receivers in the league. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. And Jerry Hughes, their defensive end pass rusher against Laremy Tunsil, is going to be a big matchup as well. So I think those two are going to make big impacts on the results of the game.
Yeah, I think that's going to be big too. I like the also too, I look at the head coaches, right? Bill O'Brien, a guy who was called plays in the league for a while, and understands, you know, I think playoff football. We forget about his pedigree with the, you know, the New England Patriots, right? Working with Tom Brady for many years, and he understands it's a different game in the playoffs. And Houston being at home, I think Ted definitely is going to give them the advantage. But when it comes down time to make a play, there's two guys I'm gonna be looking at. I'm looking at the quarterbacks, right? It's easy. Josh Allen, when his team is going to need a play, because we know what the Buffalo Bills want to do. They want to run the football, take shots down the field, but when it's time to make a play, third and nine, right? Third and eight, can Josh Allen find the guy? Can he make the play? And do the Buffalo Bills have the receiver that you believe in that can get open, right, against Romeo Crennel and his defense? I think Deshaun Watson is that X factor, right? He is that guy that if third and nine comes up, that he can hang in the pocket. And that's one of the things that he's done earlier in his career, right? Standing in the pocket, not getting jittery and running out, delivering the football, delivering the strike. And so that's where I think the play callers that come in here, Brian Daboll versus a guy like Bill O'Brien, right? It's not, I don't think it's the offense versus defense thing. I think it's how these offensive play callers call this game. And if Brian Daboll wants to keep, you know, Josh Allen upright, because we've seen him take a ton of shots, we've seen him get hit a ton of times, and I think Romeo Crennel is going to bring a ton of pressure to it.
Yeah, and that's where Josh Allen really struggles, and this has been kind of his problem in college. It's been it was his big problem. His rookie year, he's gotten better at it in his second year, but he's still not really at an adequate level versus the blitz. We saw that in the Ravens game when they blitzed him mercilessly, and the Jets blitzed him a lot, and he couldn't really figure out answers for that. And the Texans, you know, as you said, Romeo Crennel likes blitzing. They are eighth in blitz percentage this year. So that's just not a really great matchup for Josh Allen, which is why I have the Texans winning this one. I just, like you said, I think Watson's going to make enough plays with his legs, getting outside the pocket and throwing deep to DeAndre Hopkins. But Will Fuller's health is going to be a big big factor in this game. If he could play, that makes a huge difference when he has a number two receiver, especially with DeAndre White against Hopkins. You know, you don't want to throw to White that often. So if he has Will Fuller to be able to throw to the other side, that's going to be huge. But yeah, like you said, I think the quarterback matchup is going to really decide this one. I just don't see Josh Allen doing really well against the Texans blitzes, and I could see Watson just making enough plays to win this game.
Yeah, we never talk about turnovers as well, right? I think the turnover battle, who's going to win the turnover battle in this game? Because you mentioned that Deshaun Watson is going to take some chances. Josh Allen is going to have to take some chances. The one thing that does scare me about the Houston Texans, right, is going to be about their run game. They're going to have to get Carlos Hyde going. And will they be able to execute down the field, Ted? Can they get into some 8-9 play, 10 play drives and not always have to rely on the big play from DeAndre Hopkins? That's the interesting part. Will they be able to score touchdowns and not kick threes? Because you mentioned Tre'Davious White, one of the outstanding corners, you know, for the Buffalo Bills. He's not going to give up the big play. And so if he's not giving up the big play, how will the Houston Texans drive down the field? So a lot of that really just has to be them making their way, but executing down the field and getting a couple drives together. I don't say they don't need four or five of these, but I think two or three good drives will work for them and get them some points instead of having to rely on Hopkins and Watson to connect.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the Bills are about middle of the pack. They're about 15th in run defense, DVOA. So that is a way where the Texans can move the ball, and they've had some good rushing games this season. So if they're able to get some consistent yardage, you know, I don't think they're going to be gashing the Bills against a run, but if they could get some consistent yardage and get in some third and manageables versus that Bills run defense, that's going to put them in a lot better position.
Yeah, I agree. And then Sean McDermott, right? I think he's learned as well as a head coach. His first opportunity, you know, in the playoffs. His team didn't play well, right? They went down to Jacksonville and got beat up in his first opportunity as a head coach. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, how he handles it in this game. I think the last thing for me, because I know a lot of people, we never really talk about it, but because I think we get a little in-depth here, Ted, who do you have more faith in, right? Kyami Fairbairn versus a guy like Stephen Hauschka, who's also kicked in some big games and big situations. We know the playoffs come down to pressure type moments. If there's a kicker that you trust in this game, who is that guy?
I'll be honest with you, I have not paid attention to kicker matchup in this game at all, so I'm gonna have to defer to you on this one.
Yep, I'm only gonna say it because I like Stephen Hauschka. He's kicked before in the big moments, right? When he was with Seattle, right? We think about the playoff runs that he's been a part of, and he's been in those moments before. Whereas Kyami Fairbairn, we have not seen him on a consistent level in a playoff game. I think last year he did, but the pressure type moments. I'm all about who do you believe in and who do you trust, and so that's always a matchup that we sometimes neglect. But I'd never neglect it. And I like the two punters, by the way, Borquez. If this becomes a situational field position type of battle, Brian Anger for the for the Texans versus Borquez. So that'll be interesting. All right, Ted, you got the Houston Texans. I got the Houston Texans. And now we move to our next game, which is the Titans at the Patriots.
I think we got to, you know, think about trying to win one game and, you know, not think about, you know, many things other than that. So, you know, we didn't play the way we're capable. We got beat, and now we got to play next week, and we got to play a lot better next week.
It doesn't get any easier. You're going to have to go on the road in a tough environment. And again, great defense. They're no strangers to winning playoff football games at home. So we'll have to go up there, and we'll have to prepare, get a schedule, get guys healthy, and start the preparation.
Is it pupil versus teacher in terms of Bill Belichick going up against Mike Vrabel, one of his former players? Always interesting, because we always know the notes, Bill Belichick versus his assistants and players or coaches who have coached him. But it's funny that we can almost throw it out the window because the week prior, the New England Patriots lost to who? The Dolphins, coached by Brian Flores, who was Bill Belichick's defensive coordinator the year prior. So as you start to look at this matchup, Ted, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier, the hardest road for the Patriots to win a Super Bowl since 2009, right? And so a lot of people are saying they don't have it offensively. This isn't the same team. What do the Patriots need to do in this game against the Texans, or sorry, against the Titans, to win this and get to the divisional round?
I think they're going to have to get a really big turnover and either score on that turnover like a pick six, or get their offense in good field position, because their offense has just looked terrible in the last few weeks. And they've Josh McDaniels been able to scheme up a few things and get some open running backs or open screens on opponents, just because he's a really good schematic coach. But the Titans play a lot of man-to-man defense. They play a lot of quarters defense, and they, you know, Vrabel knows McDaniels pretty well. So I wouldn't expect those opportunities to be too abundant in this game. I think where the Patriots could potentially move the ball is the run game. They've gotten better at it in the last few weeks, and I think I don't think the Titans are bad at run defense, but I think this is a way where the Patriots can move the ball and maybe get the play action game going a little bit. I just think that the defense is going to have to come up big and put this offense in good field position. And with the Titans, they're so good at play action and hit you in an intermediate part of the field that the Patriots really are going to have to run with these crossing routes. And I think that's where this game is going to be won and lost, is going to be whether the Patriots safeties can really shut down the intermediate part of the field.
If there's one thing that I'm looking at in this game, Ted, I am speaking loud and I'm screaming it loud, telling my team, if I'm Mike Vrabel, we need two scores, right? We need a couple touchdowns, right? Offensively, get us a touchdown in the field goal. Defensively, get us the ball where we can set up a touchdown. If they get to 17 points, the Titans, they've got a good shot at winning this game, right? Because I feel like they have the formula to where that they could eat up a ton of clock. You know, and congratulations to Derrick Henry, by the way, the NFL's rushing champion of 2019. When you have that kind of running game and that effectiveness in what you're doing, you can eat up clock. And I think that he's the type of back, as big as he is, that can wear on the Patriots. Because we know the Patriots' biggest strength is a lot of times their secondary, right? Because of their experience. And you look on the outside with Stephon Gilmore, and then you could throw in the McCourty twins, and then, you know, the safeties as well, and then Chung Bates being able to, you know, guard guys in the slot and Jones. So you've got guys that I think can cover the Titans' skill position players, but don't shy away from your identity. And if you don't do that, I think that's where the Texans, that's how they win this game. It has to be by getting just a couple scores. They don't have to light the scoreboard up. But we've seen that the Patriots have been had a tough time executing all the way down the stretch. And that's going to be interesting. If you get a couple scores up, forcing the Patriots to have to throw the football, because right now their offense has not been clicking, especially when they get down in the red zone, been very stagnant.
Yeah, and you know, Falk has been good as a kicker, but at the same time, I don't know if I could trust him in those big moments as well.
There you go. See? There you go. Now you talk about these kickers. Yeah. I don't trust him. Okay. I just don't, man. Nick Falk, I don't trust him at all, right? Because this is and where in years past, Steven Gaskowski, I mean, you never had to worry about him, right? You just knew like what he was going to do. Now, that may be the advantage, I think, in this game, no, Ted, because you do have a reliable kicker in Ryan Succop, right, who Greg Joseph, who is kicking now for the Titans. And he's been kicking well, but this is also, like I said, the pressure situation for him to have to go out and make some kicks down the stretch. Remember, Ryan Succop was injured this year, so they couldn't put him on IR. If he was still kicking, you feel more confident. But because this is one of those games where actually field goal kicking will come into play. This game is going to be in New England, right? This game is going to be outdoors. So New England, can they play in this weather? Yes, they do it all the time. The Titans, same thing. That's why I think that it's all about the running game in this matchup, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, and if you're talking about efficiency, New England's defense is actually one of the worst in the league at run defense efficiency. So if Derrick Henry gets going in his game and they can't stop him, it's going to be a long day. And if the Titans could avoid turnovers, that's going to be a huge key because the Patriots are so good at forcing them that they're going to have to hold on to the ball. They have some young receivers, and they get a lot of strips off of receivers that aren't ready for these defenders coming at different angles. So that's something they have to watch out for. But this is a tough game to predict. But I just think with the Patriots and their experience and with Bill Belichick, I think the Patriots will end up winning this one. But I would not be surprised at all if Tennessee came in and won this game and Derrick Henry has 100 yards rushing.
Yeah, I would be surprised if New England lost this game. I'm going New England all the way here. I think that they find a way, and you want to see what does this revenge tour look like, right? That's what the linebacker Kyle Van Noy said to the media this week, is that we're on a revenge tour, and it starts this week. So I do want to see the game plan that Josh McDaniels comes up with. Is it something for them to build on if they're able to win this game? Because it's like everyone's looking at, like I mentioned, the Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs, but in the back of our minds, would we be surprised to see the Patriots in a conference championship game or a Super Bowl? Honestly, right now, I'm just never surprised until they're defeated.
No, I was going to say that I wouldn't be surprised at all, but this will be their toughest. You know, if they get to an AFC championship, I'm going to be in awe of how they put together this run, because, you know, this is just the least complete team that they've had in a long time.
Yeah, well, you know what? That completes our AFC portion, and it's kind of funny, right? The AFC will be playing on Saturday, and then our NFC portion starts now, the preview, the NFC playing on Sunday, and it starts with, I think, to me, the game of the week, really. Vikings-Saints, we saw it a couple seasons ago, right? The miracle in Minnesota, or Minneapolis.
When you get in games like this, number one, that you have to be able to execute. Do it like he said, do what you've been doing all along. But, mistakes are magnified now. Every little thing becomes a lot more magnified because of the consequences of winning and losing. So everybody has to do a little bit extra in preparation so we don't make those mistakes. We line up and play hard and play fast.
When you look at our stretch of the last, 5-6 weeks, each and every week, it's just that emphasis of, how do we get better? How do we improve? How do we get ourselves into the form that we want to be in going into the playoffs? Not, hey, foot off the gas and relax, and then, once we get to the playoffs, we'll crank it up again. No, it doesn't work like that. You gotta be pedal to the metal.
I said it a little bit earlier in our rankings. I had the New Orleans Saints ranked 4 of the 12 teams. And I just feel like they're a team that is going to get hot. Now, they only get one home game, right, because they're the 3 seed. They'll need some things to happen in the division round to have to be able to host, a conference championship game. But when I look at the New Orleans Saints, I look at a team that has everything, right? They've got a running game. They've got a good quarterback, an experienced quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback, the best receiver right now in the NFL, hands down. Michael Thomas has proved it. Congrats to him as well, the NFL's receiving yardage champion and receptions record holder for a single season in the National Football League. You have that guy. And then you also have a guy who they did not have for a majority of a game against San Francisco is Jared Cook. I think Jared Cook plays that entire game that me and you broke down, Ted. I don't know if the 49ers win that one. We may be talking about the number one seed going to the New Orleans Saints and not necessarily the San Francisco 49ers. But so much to really digest and look at when it comes to this game. What's the big thing that sticks out to you, Ted, about the New Orleans Saints taking on the Minnesota Vikings?
I think with the Vikings, they have certain things built in their defense where they'll be able to double-team Michael Thomas in a slot or wherever he goes. And, I think he'll still get six or seven catches, but I don't know if he's going to have one of his big 135-yard games in this matchup. I think they're going to do a pretty good job of taking him away, and then that leaves Jared Cook. If Jared Cook is healthy and he can play this whole game, that's going to be a huge key. Those linebackers are susceptible to athletic tight ends, and I think they don't really have a safety that could match up with Jared Cook, especially if they're going to use that safety to double Michael Thomas. So that's going to be a huge key. And I think the Vikings are going to play a little more press coverage than they have this season. I think they're going to try to test Drew Brees' arm to see if he can throw deep. And he's had trouble throwing deep in the playoffs in the last couple of years, and it's kind of cost him games, like against the Rams last year. Mm-hmm. There were some opportunities that he just missed because he just couldn't hit those deep throws. And the year before against the Panthers, we saw him underthrow a couple deep throws that ended up costing the game. So I think with the Vikings, they're going to test him and bump him too. So we'll see. I mean, Jared Cook's going to be a huge key, because if he could get open in the intermediate parts of the field, that's going to relieve some stress for this offense.
Yeah, I think that's the one matchup I want to see, though, because in a matchup I want to see, Ted, it's who's going to kind of match up with Michael Thomas, because Xavier Rhodes has struggled tremendously this year, right? He has not been the Pro Bowl guy that we saw a couple of years ago for Minnesota, and we know Sean Payton likes to move Michael Thomas around. Michael Thomas is not going to line up in the same spot throughout the game. They're going to move him around, like they did with Jared Cook as well. And then the guy who, it's until you are watching the game, until you are there in the game, it's like, what do we do when he comes into the game? But you know he is going to make an impact, right? And that's Taysom Hill. Like, what are you going to do about Taysom Hill? Third and short, or goal line, short yard. That, to me, is what gives New Orleans the advantage, but also gives them, I think, sort of a unknown about their offense. I hated those types of guys, Ted, that when they were, I call them, you know, the jokers. When the joker came into the game, you just had a couple plays that you kind of go over a little bit, but you truly never know what Taysom Hill is going to do when he comes into the game, which maybe relieves Drew Brees from having to, you know, find the big play a lot or make the big throw in the red zone. Now you've got a guy in Hill that can come in and really take the defense or catch the defense off guard.
Yeah, and the annoying thing with Hill, too, is if you study those plays that he's ran in the past, you know that Peyton's going to put something in that's going to counter those two plays. So you really have to be ready for everything. And on top of that, he's a great blocker, too, and he could get downfield just like one of those fast flex tight ends. So he is a matchup problem. And on the other side of the ball, the Saints are going to have to match up with Adam Thielen, who's going to be in a slot. And I think Eli Apple will probably move into the slot and match up with Thielen. We've seen him move in a slot before, and that's going to be a big key, too. Dalvin Cook's going to be back, as we mentioned, and it makes the Minnesota run game and screen game a lot more dangerous. But I think overall I have the Saints winning this one. They're going to be at home. I just don't completely trust Kirk Cousins in any of these big games just yet. So, yeah, I got the Saints.
Yeah, I want to see, does Janoris Jenkins find his way onto the field? I think that the way that, you know, New Orleans down the stretch kind of geared up and shored up their defense a little bit in the back end is getting guys who can go out there and cover, or more or better, right? Because Eli Apple, sometimes teams tend to go at him a little bit because he's getting a little aggressive, and also he tends to be handsy, right? To hold on a little bit, get a little grab here and there. We know that these games, especially with the New Orleans Saints, will be officiated a little more tightly, right? You know, they're gonna be taking a look, and we're gonna see what will the officials let these players get away with. I think my last key in this game is special teams, and not necessarily the field goal kicking here, right? But we know that New Orleans can find a way to create blocks or create big returns, right? Deontay Harris, the Pro Bowl recipient this year in a return game, he's a guy that can change the game a little bit for New Orleans, create some field positions. So it's those types of guys that in this game, they could give New Orleans, when I say one of the more complete teams, can give them you know, whether it's a short drive in the third quarter or the second quarter where they're kicking a field goal or something like that early on because of a, you know, a block punt, anything. That's where games like this are won, and that's where I think the New Orleans Saints have a little bit of an advantage in the special teams game. I'm taking New Orleans, Ted. I do. I'm taking New Orleans. They'll win this game. And if they win this game, now you're talking about a scary matchup, because I know the 49ers nor the Green Bay Packers want to see this New Orleans Saints team.
No, that's a really good number three seed.
Yeah, extremely, extremely great number three seed. Then we got the next game, right? The last game of the wild card weekend. The Seattle Seahawks traveling to Philadelphia.
I mean, I'm just grateful, extremely grateful to be healthy and to be out here playing in these meaningful games. You know, and I know the guys are fired up. You know, we're fired up. You know, it's been it was quite the season, you know, for us, the regular season, with a lot of ups and downs, and the way we responded late in the year with our backs against the wall to do what we did and to get in this moment. You know, I think guys are thankful for it, but we're still hungry.
We have a tough battle against Philly that we got to go on the road. We've been great on the road all year, and we battled through. We got to play there earlier this year. It's going to be a tough environment. We got to be ready to roll. They've been hot all year. They got a lot of great players, and so that's our focus right now.
Right now, everyone's saying the Seahawks. I kind of feel the same, but there's so much to look at. The Seahawks could have been a team that was hosting a home playoff game. They played well against the 49ers a week ago. Maybe could have said they should have won the game. And very uncharacteristic of Russell Wilson at the end of the game, not being aware of the play clock and getting a 5-yard, you know, delay of game penalty that pushed the Seahawks back a little bit, that, you know, ultimately they did not score in enough time, being just short on a, I think it was a third down play or fourth down play, but there was no time left. Really uncharacteristic of Russell Wilson. That being said, I feel like the competitor in him knows that that can't happen again. It's probably fueled him this week to a matchup in which he is going to have to be great on the road, right? Because Carson Wentz, Philadelphia, I feel like they're playing with house money because of what, like you mentioned earlier, so many injuries, and yet they're still here. And when Carson Wentz feels that magic, that's the scary part, that I think that this team, honestly, truly, with all the injuries, having beat Dallas a couple weeks back, they feel that they can win this game. They can feel like they can win this game and beat Seattle because they're playing at home.
Yeah, and both teams are beat up, but the Eagles are just like one of the most beat up teams in the league. Like Zach Ertz, one of their last remaining weapons, is questionable, so he might not even play in this game. And even if he does play, he's probably going to be limited. So Seattle's defense has been playing better, and I think with Quandre Diggs coming back, they announced yesterday that he will be playing in this game. He makes a huge difference being that single high safety on the back end. I just don't see how the Eagles are going to move the ball against this Seattle defense. I know the Seattle run defense hasn't played extremely well, and Clowney is a little banged up, so they might be able to run the ball on them. But I just think that Seattle will be able to load the box against the Eagles, just because they aren't scared of anybody, especially with Ertz being hurt. And I think Russell Wilson's going to be able to make enough plays. He's going to test the Eagles deep. They had trouble covering receivers deep. Tyler Lockett's healthy now. Metcalf has been making plays. And he really carried that Seattle team against the Niners and almost brought them all the way back. And he's playing at such a high level right now, it's hard to doubt him.
Yeah. Well, I just want to look at the Eagles, though, their run game, right? Miles Sanders was a little bit banged up when he left the field last week. See his status going forward this week. The Philadelphia defense, right? Can they create some pass rush, right? Can they keep a guy like Russell Wilson within the pocket and not allow him to extend plays? We saw it last week. Russell was able to evade the rush a little bit and make some plays. And then on top of that, DK Metcalf, I'm still shocked. And I've said this in the beginning of the year, the way that his game has translated from college to the NFL. I mean, there were some times where the 49ers, where they were throwing Akilah Witherspoon, Emmanuel Mosley, I mean, they were just throwing out different corners over there, and he was eating them all up. Do the Philadelphia Eagles have someone that can stand up to a guy like DK Metcalf, as big and as physical of a wide receiver that he is? I think that may be the biggest advantage in this game that Seattle has, that Philadelphia has to figure out. And then the run game. I thought Travis Homer played well last week versus San Fran, but this week they're going to need a little bit more out of that running game, right? Marshawn Lynch, he's good for about 5 to 10 carries. He's not really the game breaker. I think he's really effective by the goal line. We saw that, him jumping over the top of the defense. Now, I know if I'm on the other side this week, right, if I'm Philadelphia, I get to the goal line and I'm a linebacker there, I'm thinking Marshawn Lynch is going to jump over the top. So we'll see if the guys watch film, but I know what I'm thinking now. But I think the running game is going to have to be huge so that Russell Wilson has to have to chuck it around the field, you know, 45, 50 times this week, because that's what it may take for Philadelphia to, I mean, for the Seattle Seahawks to win this game.
Yeah, and I think last year, Schottenheimer, we know he wants to run the ball, and I think he called too many runs against the Cowboys last year. Russell Wilson was so effective in the play action game and in the drop back passing game, and he just refused to pass the ball. So, I think in the same vein, they do have to have a consistent run game, but at the same time, they cannot fall too in love with the run game and get too conservative, especially against this Philadelphia secondary. So the Eagles have one of the best run defenses in the league, and we know they could get beat deep. So I think early on in this game, I think they need to test that secondary out, let Russell Wilson pass the ball, and then loosen up that box a little bit and then establish the run.
Yeah, I think that could be a major factor in this game, right? If Seattle just becomes one-dimensional. If they're just one-dimensional, but this time more so letting, you know, Russell Wilson just throw the football, try to get out of the way of the rush, that'll be interesting. How does Philadelphia handle that? Because I look at Russell Wilson last week, and I looked at him throughout the entire season. When he struggles to me is when you don't allow him an outlet, when you don't allow him to extend the play. So you're not necessarily rushing to sack him all the time. You're rushing just to close the lane when he tries to escape the pocket. And that's where Philadelphia, they got some rushers, right? But can those guys stay in their lanes? That's what we always preach. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Just don't let him easy access to get out and throw the ball down the field. I think if Philadelphia is able to do that, they have a good chance. But the reason why I'm leaning more toward the Seahawks is I think that it's just a different matchup for them. So I thought San Francisco bringing in a guy like George Kittle, Zach Ertz is kind of a similar guy like that. Dallas Goedert is another tight end, kind of similar to what Kittle does. He's not George Kittle by no means, but they do some Kittle-esque type things. And, you know, that's where, you know, Seattle has to be a little bit better, because I saw that they didn't have an answer for George Kittle at times. San Francisco got away from it, but, you know, that tight end seemed to eat up those linebackers for the Seattle Seahawks. So would that be something that Doug Peterson revisits and tries to, you know, exploit K.J. Wright or Bobby Wagner, you know, in the middle of the field? Because if that starts to happen, that does open up the outside, you know, for the Philadelphia Eagles offense.
Yeah, and Dallas Goedert is a pretty good tight end himself too. So, you know, I expect to see a lot of, if Zach Ertz play, and I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm sure he'll do whatever it takes to play this game. But I'm sure we'll see a lot of 12 personnel, a lot of 13 personnel. They're going to try to run the ball, then play action to those tight ends and take advantage of those matchups, like you said. But I have the Seahawks winning this game. I just don't see them the Eagles moving the ball consistently enough. And I think Russell Wilson's going to make enough magic to pull this game out.
Yeah, I think so too. I think right now, I think that Seattle they win this game, and they find a little bit more within the run game that I think helps them out in their playoff run. Right, I think they get enough. In Philadelphia, you applaud them, but I just don't know if they have enough left. Right, they're just too banged up, and at some point, it's going to catch up with them. I think this is the game that it catches up with them. And the Seattle Seahawks move on to the divisional round. And I still give them a shot because I think that they can beat, you know, some of the better teams within the NFC. But I don't know, without having the stable running game, do I give them enough confidence just to have to put it all on the back of Russell Wilson? So there we have it, Ted. That's our preview for this week. The wild card round will be finished after this weekend, and I can't wait to see what the divisional round looks like. Ooh, looking forward to those matchups. Remember, we know the teams that got the byes already. Sitting at home right now, we already know the Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore Ravens in the AFC, and in the NFC, just hanging out, chilling, the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. I look forward to seeing the matchups and talking to matchups next week on the Run the Film podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. For Kirk Morrison and Ted Nguyen, we appreciate the time as always. We out, y'all.